Please.
Hey everyone, I'm Bohan, and I'm currently a student at UNSW, where I'm pretty heavily involved in lots of space engineering projects as part of BlueSat. And I'm also the CEO and co-founder of a lunar ISRU startup called Sperrispace. It's very recent development, and I hope to share some of the stuff we're going to do.
So the question I'm addressing today is, why should we mine the moon? Because that's a very important question to ask. So a quick introduction to myself. I'm currently a fourth-year aerospace engineering student at UNSW, and I'm CTO at BlueSat. UNSW, which is Australia's oldest and biggest space project society. And I'm also the CEO and co-founder of a company called Sperrispace, which aims to make moon missions cheaper and safer. So a bit about BlueSat first. So it was founded 20 years ago to provide students with real-world experience in space engineering. Since then, it has grown and has diversified its project. So as you can see, there's some examples here. First example, it's very similar to what Nova Rover team has right there. So we have also competing in international competitions, the European Rover Challenge. We also have a CubeSat development team, which is aiming to launch a biological payload within 2 years. And also a high altitude ballooning team, which is working on a contract with NATO for developing a radar platform. So why have a startup right now? So the question to that is, or the answer to that is because the Moon Race competition got announced. So who here has heard about the Google Lunar X Prize? Hands up. Right, so many of you would know that iSpace was one of the finalists for that competition. And that competition has ended, but in its place, a new one has popped up. So it's backed by ESA, Airbus, Blue Origin, among some other names, and there's also even more organizations talking with it. I know the Australian Space Agency wants to get involved. And what it does is it supports startups who are working on ISRU technologies. So us, specifically, we're working on the manufacturing stream. So what are the problems of going to the moon right now? There's two main ones which affect all missions, which is cost and distance. Yes, the moon is the closest celestial body to the Earth, but there's still a significant time frame, much more than the time needed to send something up to the ISS, for example. And the cost of launching anything to the moon is very, very, very high. At more than $1 million per kilo. So, how do we solve this? Mining and manufacturing on the moon using local resources solve this. So there's around three steps involved, if we abstract it a lot. So first step before that, of course, we have exploration. But first, you have gathering the local resources, which is mostly a robotics process. Then you have the actual processing of the regolith, if you'd want to extract anything useful out of it. Unless you're just going to use it directly for manufacturing. And finally, you have the manufacturing part. So right now, the market gap, so to speak, is in the process of technology. There's significant work done in robotics as well as metal 3D printing, which is quite an established technology these days. So how do we plan to do the processing? It's really great that iSpace touched on it briefly, but the core part of what we're doing is we're basically adapting an established process called hydrogen reduction for space purposes and combining that with metal 3D printing. So using basically readily available hydrogen and metal oxides on the moon, through reduction process, you get water and metal powder. Metal powder can then be directly sold to customers or 3D printed into a part first. And the oxygen involved during the oxygen that is extracted is also a valuable byproduct as fuel or life support, which Carlos mentioned earlier. So of course, why now? It's because right now there's a lot of stuff going on with the moon. There's basically a convergence between industry and governments around the world on it. And the first wave, which is the lunar landers and rovers, have been progressing over the past 10 years or so. So that's more or less established. So as you can see, there's a commercial lander going to be landing on the moon soon, as well as many others scheduled over the next few years. Next step after that is the payloads and support systems involved in demonstrating technologies. And some other in-situ use cases that was touched on. Here in Australia, for those who aren't aware, there's also another water kind of mining research project at UNSW called the WILD project. And some other useful in-situ manufacturing is in manufacturing solar panels with electronics, and also, as mentioned earlier, doing structures. So what's important about all this is that combined with the new generation of rockets that comes up, you have much lower cost of access to space. So what this brings, this brings me on to my next point, which is how does this compare to other developments of industrial ecosystems? So the first example is in the railway systems. So during the 19th century, the railway system basically fueled the Industrial Revolution by lowering the cost of access of transportation of goods and services across basically a continent. And more recently, you see the app ecosystem that has spawned out of the smartphone development. So 15 years ago, there was no like app ecosystem. Nowadays, it's more worth trillions of dollars. What does this look like for space, though? So this is the vision proposed by ULA about what is called the cislunar economy, which is defined as basically all economic activity between the moon and the Earth. And one thing important to note here is that you have asteroid mining and moon mining, and the two are actually quite complementary because they each have their own advantages in different areas. What's the market size? It's an important question to ask as a startup because it is basically a commercial entity. But for one, the Bank of America projects that additively manufactured parts in space would be worth $4.7 billion by 2027. And also, UOA projects the cislunar economy to be worth $2.7 trillion by 2045. So this includes things such as mining, manufacturing, habitation. And then there's also Jeff Bezos, who has the vision of basically moving all heavy industry off Earth. Which is very interesting because it is actually quite directly related to the environment topic touched on earlier. Because while there's a lot of ethical considerations when it comes to mining off-earth bodies, one strong point in favor of it is that it replaces terrestrial mining, which will always damage local living ecosystems. So here we have some cool pictures, which is what the cislunar manufacturing allow, right? So all the stuff you see inside, not all the stuff, obviously, but a lot of the infrastructure you see inside science fiction becomes possible because when you're able to manufacture in space, you're no longer confined by payload and size limitations. So if you look at the ISS, unfortunately, I do have to say I do find it a bit ugly because it's just a lot of modules strapped together. But if you have manufacturing in space, you're no longer constrained by those same limitations. And another thing to note is that a lunar space elevator is totally possible because of the lower gravity on the moon compared to Earth. So we could make it using current materials as long as we can manufacture the parts locally. Enough about the commercial side, though. How does it actually benefit humanity? So one of the good things about having the infrastructure in place in cislunar orbit is that you can launch exploration missions deep into the solar system for much lower costs. So to the left, you see a history of basically all the exploration missions set out in the past. And you look at those little probes and satellites and you wonder, you know, these probes and satellites, they have equipment that is extremely limited in weight, so often just a few kilos. They run on a couple of watts. Extremely limited in power, and sure, they do a lot of great science with it, but imagine what you could do when you have tons of equipment doing that same mission. And then you have colonization. So many people regard the moon as a stepping stone when it comes to testing technologies for use further in outer space. So that vision that was provided by SpaceX, you look at all those structures, could you imagine bringing all those structures from the Earth to Mars and how expensive that will cost? That's pretty unfeasible economically, which means that ISR technologies for using local resources has to be present to be able to do that. And another thing which is really cool is that the first speaker was talking about one of her favorite songs about the moon. And I have one I quite like myself. So anyone here know Fly Me to the Moon by Frank Sinatra? Right? I think it fits perfectly with my talk. So for those who don't know, this is how it goes. Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. Thank you for listening.